Today we celebrate the manifestation of our Lord to the Gentiles through the Magi, and we look to their example and ask for their intercession, these holy men who bowed down before divine wisdom and submitted their own human wisdom to Him. In the West, we tend to focus on the three kings, whereas in the Eastern Church, Epiphany is not just the visitation of the three kings to Bethlehem, but it's also the wedding feast at Cana, where our Lord worked the first miracle, and the baptism of our Lord in the Jordan, where the Holy Trinity manifested, or the Father and the Holy Spirit manifested their favor and put a sign over Christ as He was being baptized by John. But today, Jesus is manifested to us in his true nature and in His mission, and we humble ourselves with the Magi before Him. I suppose it's very fitting, especially in modern times, that we should focus on the Magi in the West, where we tend to worship our technology and our tools and our human wisdom, human philosophy, and where, you know, philosophies that are opposed to Christ become more and more part of our culture, and it becomes more difficult to embrace the wisdom of God. Magi came from the East, and, you know, we don't know a lot about them. There's a lot of speculation about who they were. Sometimes we refer to them as kings, sometimes as wise men. It's what magi, or the singular magus, means. It means wise man. But it's also the word that's used for magician. They were certainly pagans, and they didn't know the revelation of the Jewish people the way the Jews did. Apparently they must have known something about it, but they were somewhat eclectic, apparently, in their outlook, and they were open to finding the truth. So even if they were involved in wicked business, they were willing to be enlightened. Even in their quote-unquote human wisdom, they were willing to be enlightened. And they humbled themselves enough to see something more in the stars than what most of the pagans saw. They witnessed this miraculous star that was brighter than all the others and that moved in a way which was completely out of keeping with celestial bodies, and they followed it. And it brought them, first of all, to Herod, and then to the Lord Himself. And there at the stable, they offered their symbolic gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, acknowledging by the gold the divinity of Christ, the kingship of Christ, by the frankincense, His divinity, and by the myrrh, the fact that He was to be a victim and a sacrifice for our sins. Today we can look to them and beg God for that true wisdom. They had a worldly wisdom which they were willing to let go in order to find God and discover His wisdom. And the wisdom that they embraced at Bethlehem in front of the manger was the wisdom of adoration and reverence, of silence and of pure joy in finding something which we can't completely comprehend but we know is the truth. God gave them the grace to know that the truth was to be found not in the powerful like Herod, not in their own wisdom which they read in books, but was to be found in this little infant lying in his poverty in a feeding trough, in a animal's stable, with his poor mother and with his poor father, Saint Joseph. That's where they found wisdom. And it wasn't something that was explained to them. It was something that they witnessed and experienced by seeing the sign and by opening their hearts to God. In the end, you know, in the face of foolishness, of the presumed wisdom of this world, which is really the foolishness of men, and a kind of foolishness which can lead us to destruction and to hell, ultimately, we need the wisdom of God. and it's something for which we need to sacrifice and pray, because we become more and more inclined to be to depend on our own devices, our own technology, which very often results in the culture of death. And the Magi were involved in that too, in a way. Herod wanted to see the child dead, and then ended up going after all the children in that area, all the male children within 2 years of birth in that area. And the angel appeared to them, and, or in a dream, spoke to them and let them know that they shouldn't go back to Herod and collaborate with him. And so they didn't. They left, and their cooperation with that grace saved our Lord's life, in a way. Made it more difficult for Herod to figure out what he needed to do, and gave St. Joseph and our Blessed Mother time to get our Lord out of Bethlehem and to Egypt. And, you know, God provides us with solutions. We need to, you know, do our part, of course, but most of what we have to do is discover the wisdom of God, and that's usually done on our knees. And when we worship our tools and our technology or whatever else that is not God, it's usually that pride by which we try to stand on our own rather than by going to the source and humbling ourselves. So we try to do that today as we celebrate Epiphany, and also as we bless an icon, a very special icon today of the Blessed Mother and the Christ Child. For a long time, we've planned to have a shrine to the Blessed Mother, kind of pro-life shrine where anybody can come to pray to the Blessed Mother, whether it's a married couple that wants to conceive, or a mother who's had a miscarriage, or mother who's had an abortion, or whatever. You know, we need a culture of life, and Our Lady is the mother of life, the mother of the author of life. And so we still don't have the shrine. It'll be next to the Divine Mercy Shrine in the back there, in a similar kind of frame. But meanwhile, we finally have the icon, and the icon has been donated in honor of Father Bonaventure's father, Joseph McGuire, by his family. And so we give thanks for that, and to the McGuire family for this opportunity to have this blessed icon. The icon really speaks for itself, but it was an icon used on a much smaller scale, smaller size, by midwives who were delivering babies. And the title of the icon is Helper in Childbirth. And there's a little description of the icon there at the altar rail, which will kind of give you an idea of the meaning, but she really speaks for herself, and she's very beautiful, and so is Jesus. So this is also a manifestation for us, and I encourage you to venerate the icon and pray to the Blessed Mother for all the graces we need at the on this feast of Epiphany. And then, of course, after Mass, we'll be gathering downstairs for the rest of our celebration. But we turn to the Blessed Mother this afternoon and ask her for the grace of Epiphany, to see what our Lord wants us to see, and to respond to it in wisdom.